This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by our fine patrons, supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You can support us there as well and catch our brand new Star Wars Rebels commentary series, where you can hear things like the following clip.
Chopper helped me, and I have chosen to help Chopper.
All right, so thumbs up. All right, let's give the betting odds. About 1 or 2 minutes left on the program here. Does he die? Does bug-eyed droid die? Yes or no, Mark?
I'm saying no.
I'm saying yes. We'll find out.
Oh! Bastardio!
Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, we're talking virtual reality, Princess Leia, a traitor, and more. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast episode 214. Welcome to the program. I'm Riley Blanton, your host. What a great show we've got for you guys. It's another exciting week of Star Wars news and awesomeness. I'd like to bring into the program, as always, my good friend and yours, Mr. Mark Herleman. How's it going, Mark?
It is going a lot better this week than last week. Some family drama with surgeries and stuff. But aside from that, we're holding down the fort, expanding the fort, kicking down walls, and enjoying some Star Wars at the same time. How you, my man?
I'm doing well. Mark, I'm constantly impressed at your Star Wars super daddom. Because, like, you're awesome. You're super dad in terms of the Star Wars realm, too. But people don't know enough about you being super dad in the midst of family medical stuff going on, all that sort of stuff. We're actually recording at a weird time this weekend, but we had to make it happen for you guys. So Mark, thanks for being able to make it and get some time. I know it's been a pretty crazy weekend for you. I'm just capping off my spring break from Georgia State University. Mark, you want to know where I went? All right, take two. Mark, you want to know? I'm not editing anything. I'm going straight into it. No, Mark, you want to know what I did this spring break?
What did you partake on spring break?
I worked.
You worked?
That's literally all I've ever done.
Were you listening to podcasts or music while you worked?
I did
multitasking at least, because I've discovered now that I'm doing the theater job, it's really nice to have a job where I can just slap on the headset, play an audiobook or something, and just jam out, man. I'm just like gone. I'm in my own world, lost in a galaxy far, far away.
Not unlike, I'm sure, many people listening to this very program right now.
Work on.
I was laughing. I was literally up at my ROTC detachment this week because I had work and stuff. I wasn't traveling at all for spring break. I never do. I'm incredibly boring that way. I looked over at another cadet who said, "Wait, isn't it your spring break? Why are you here this week?" And I'm like, turn up. Of course, we're in the middle of the RTC environment. But enough about that. Enough about that. We want to get straight to this program. And as I said, it's been a crazy weekend really for both of us, but especially Mark. But we are here, and we're here because of the fine folks at patreon.com/StarWarsReport who are supporting us. They're our patrons. And in fact, if you want to support the show, you can go over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. But I just want to take an opportunity really quickly at the beginning of the show just to thank everybody who's jumped on recently. We are, in fact, more than 2/3 of the way to our next upgrade spectacular level, basically. Our next goal, our next milestone for funding that you guys provide to make this show the show it is. So if you want to hop on board and get some cool bonuses, like bonus audio, like our Rebels commentary, which we're going to do after the program's done being recorded here this evening. But if you want like our Rebels commentary, we're trying to make some nice bonus content for the guys who are supporting us, as well as what's scheduled tomorrow, Mark. I forgot, like, until my Facebook notification earlier today. We're doing our next hangout with some patrons. If that's the kind of stuff that you're interested in, you can head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. But
I've got some fun games for this hangout. In fact, the Star Wars catchphrase.
That's what it is.
Pretty fun.
For those of you listening to the audio version, Mark has held up this Millennium Falcon. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, he fits perfectly in the palm of your hand. Team one, team two, next difficulty, stop and go. The only downside is when you're done playing it, it has to do like a timeout. Like it'll sit there and continue to make some sounds. But we got it when we were buying our new car. We just got a Dodge Durango limited edition the other day. And we knew we were going to be there with the kids for most of the day. And so we stopped down at Target, you know, because when you go to Medford, you got to look at Target because Target's got all the exclusive stuff that you never see in Walmart. Or, so, of course, you know, we saw that and we're like, hey, $11. That'll be perfect for when we're down there. And of course, you know, we had even some of the sales attendants were playing and stuff with us because it was just too much fun.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. No, that looks amazing. Yeah, no, it's good times to be had, but let's get straight to the main program. It's time for just, well, a little bit of the news.
We have something to report.
Closer, I have the news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
Well, it turns out that that Princess Leia may not be the hero we all thought she was, at least in the eyes of the public in the fallout after Return of the Jedi, because in Star Wars Bloodline, the upcoming novel published by Del Rey, well, we're seeing these really cool promotional posters that are promoting the book. So, Mark, this is your forte. Tell me a little bit, what is Bloodline? What can we expect? And tell me about these really cool posters.
Well, surprisingly, I haven't paid that much attention to these. I've seen them popping up, but I haven't paid much attention to the background of Bloodline. The most I know right now is that the writer that wrote Lost Stars,
yes,
which is a great read.
Very popular.
I finally read it. Wow. Like, that was a powerful story. So I'm really excited. The author in that last book, she really captured the characters. She brought them to the forefront and made them people you cared about right away, which I think so far for me, that's been something that's been rough for me to get with the new canon books. I mean, even authors like John Jackson Miller, who have a history of drawing me in and stuff. You know, I just, there was characters and descriptions of characters in A New Dawn that I was kind of like, wasn't really drawing me in. But Lost Stars and the way that the author did her work, I was immediately like, yeah, I'm digging on this. So finding out that Claudia Gray was doing this one as well, I was pretty dang excited.
Awesome.
You know, Claudia Gray, she's done that. She's done, I want to say that she's worked on a couple other little type of projects that are sci-fi related. But let's see.
Because she's well known outside of the world of Star Wars. But yeah, but here's the interesting thing. So basically, it's about Leia's run for a position within the Republic. Not unlike, you know, some of the old canon, but here in these promotional posters, these political style posters, sort of like, of course, there's the famous Obama Hope poster. That then, of course, we have all the Star Wars versions of it, right? That specific kind of color scheme. It's a little bit similar, and it's a kind of a catchphrase, protect the Republic, with X-Wings going vertically in the background, and a determined Carrie Fisher as Leia, arms folded across the cover, and it says, vote Leia, first senator. And what's interesting is that there's also, like, graffitied versions, so it's like this cool, inspiring poster, but with the word traitor spray painted over it, or a graffiti Darth Vader helmet and the word liar. So it's interesting. It gives us a little bit of a hint as to what the look the plot's going to be. So Leia is a candidate for first senator. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
It's
choice
coming
position.
Out May 3rd, and it's also going to be hardcover and ebook. But what's cool though is, you know, you got these posters, but the actual cover itself, it's got a similar pose with her lower body, but her head is tipped like she's looking down. Whereas in the other posters, it's kind of like she's almost looking up just a little, kind of defiant. Like in this one, it's almost more reflective. You still got X-Wings flying in the background, but Darth Vader is the main background.
Interesting.
That's something that I think is kind of interesting. And the tagline is, witness the birth of the Resistance. When the rebellion defeated the Empire in the skies above Endor, Leia Organa believed it was the beginning to a lasting peace. But after a decade of vicious infighting and partition gridlock in the New Republic Senate, the hope seems like a distant memory. Now, a respected senator, Leia must grapple with the dangers that threaten to cripple the fledgling democracy from both within and without. Underworld kingpins, treacherous politicians, and Imperial loyalists are sowing chaos in the galaxy. Despite desperate to take actions, senators are calling for the election of a first senator in the hope It is their hope that this influential post will bring strong leadership to a divided galaxy. As the daughter of Darth Vader, Leia faces the distrust and the prospect of any one person holding such a powerful position, even when supporters suggest Leia herself for the job. But a new enemy may make this path Leia's only option. For the edges of the galaxy, a mysterious threat is growing.
Interesting.
And I love the aspect that the public knows that Leia is Vader's daughter.
That does because make that, it...
even in Legends, that came up like later on. Like it wasn't until
But if you think
other
about
stories came out and retconned it, where they were like, "Oh yeah, they've known for a long time," and then it was like, then it started coming forward.
If you think about it, like that would be a big deal, right? It was sort of like Vader is the ultimate villain of the entire galaxy. And like to draw a historical parallel, it would be sort of like the son of Mussolini saying, I don't agree with Mussolini, but I'm running for president of Italy and I'm going to fix everything. Mm-hmm. Right. It's so having this.
We're having Hitler's son come across, and been born in America so he could actually run for president or something. You know,
indeed.
One other thing that I find interesting, and I don't know if they're going to play with it at all, is if Luke at this time frame is setting up his new Jedi Order like he was during Legends, because for Luke, especially, the Darth Vader angle came up quite a bit. The politicians were like, I don't think it's a wise idea to be having the son of a Sith Lord training a bunch of Force sensitives.
What could go wrong?
This might be a bad idea.
What could go wrong?
the idea of pulling that on Leia as senator, too, is it's an interesting angle to play with, because unlike with Luke has no black background. Leia does. Leia has proven herself as a senator in the Empire. She proved herself to be part of the rebellion. She proved herself to be a rebel leader. So she's got the clout. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And again, Claudia Gray does a really good job of keeping her political intrigue on the background. In the background, yet at the forefront of the whole time, but it's not one of those things where, like in Vector Prime, where it brings the books into a boring realm where you're like, okay, can we get to the action? This politics is just driving me nuts. But it was there, and she played with loyalties a lot. So having this idea that, Vader is Leia's dad, and what does that mean for her? What does that mean to public perception? That's an interesting place. And Claudia Gray has proven that she can write really cool tales in this political intrigue. So for once, I'm actually excited for a political book.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Like if you thought about it, like if there's going to be a Star Wars novel and you're going to say it's going to be a Princess Leia political thriller, like that doesn't seem like the obvious go-to book.
Razor's Edge was not a fun read, and that was
really
to a degree that was kind of like.
I'll be honest
that,
though, but I'm a little concerned. It doesn't. There's not the posters are really cool, and I love the concept. That's not enough to drag me in. I still haven't read Lost Stars, and that's been super super well reviewed. And a lot of that just comes down to time, honestly. But it'll be interesting to see Star Wars Bloodline.
So which
titled.
Of these posters is your favorite?
Oh, the Vader one.
And why?
Yeah, with Liar.
The Vader one?
Yeah, the Vader one is absolutely, absolutely.
I think for me with that one, that's the same, and it's because the way they line the eye up. It's Vader's right eye is lined up with Leia's left eye, but the way that they superimpose them, it looks like Vader's got an eyeball looking out through his lens, even though it's the opposite eye. It's well done. I like it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I also want to touch on another story here that we have in the doc, and that is Rian Johnson. he's there's a pattern here, Mark. He's posting these pictures from the set, teasing, and he got in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, posting a picture of a, you guessed it, green screen.
Oh, that is such a charged topic in our fandom. I mean, when you think about how divided a lot of fans are when the original trilogy fans and the prequel trilogy fans, and they're back and forth about practical effects and green screens. I just seeing that cracks me up because you and I both know that these new films are going to be doing a blending of both. But again, our fandom is just so charged. You see a photo like this and it's almost like people take it out of context. Oh my God, it's a green screen.
Yeah, no, it's what's funny is that Mark Hamill had tweeted a joke earlier around the time of John Boyega's birthday a couple days ago. Hey, happy birthday. And
did you hear about him in Empire Magazine where they had tweeted him something about making him a cake? And he's like, I'm coming. And then they're all like, we just tweeted John Boyega and he took us up on the offer.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I even saw like pictures of the amazing birthday cake they made, which you know had to be short notice because it was literally that morning when they tweeted him that they would make it happen. John Boyega is kind of interesting on social media. That's not the only thing. He when he interacted with EA, the official EA Battlefront account, and he's like, yeah, could we get this particular game mechanic? That would be cool. Just like nice. John Boyega Finn is actually making gaming requests from That's Electronic awesome. Arts. But speaking of Twitter craziness, Hamill actually followed up later because people were really upset in some cases because they really took his tweet seriously. And his tweet was on John Boyega's birthday. He wished him a happy birthday with a really interesting pun. I don't have it right up in front of me, but basically firing off a pun insinuating that Finn is his son. It's like, I can't remember it. I don't have it off the top of my head either. Oh, come on. All right, Mark Hamill, I'm going to pull up his Twitter account. But the problem is that he tweets so much.
Yeah, no doubt. But I like the one he's like, and they accuse me of leaking spoilers. Ryan Johnson pick includes shadows of two exotic new episode 8 droids.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, now I actually kind of wish that they would make those heads for droids in the background something, like a stooge on.
So this exactly. This starts out with him tweeting out "Happy Easter birthdays to the fantastic." He's just a full of puns. This Mark Hamill to John Boyega, swell fellow who's sensational. So that's in episode 8.
It's a Mark H. thing.
Typo or spoiler, you decide, hashtag troll. Which tells you just like how much Mark Hamill gets the world of Twitter. And the fact that he says hashtag troll, he knows what he understands and uses the concept of trolling. He understands
That's
Star Wars
the Joker
fans.
Side in him, you know.
Which is exactly why.
When you channel a villain that devious for that long and become the iconic voice, something about the character has
Today,
to leak into your personality.
The day the clown cried.
Oh, that's, come on, Holly. Let's get nasty.
That's actually pretty good. That's not bad, Mark. So that's, of course, what's related. You mentioned the tweet, but he follows up after all these sites and blogs start picking up the story of, is Finn the son of Skywalker? The son of Skywalker must be. No. So he followed up and said, they accuse me of leaking spoilers. At Ryan Johnson, pick includes a shadow of two exotic new episode 8s. Droids. Hashtag Ryan ruins reveal. And of course, if you know anything about studio lighting, you know that the picture of the green screen has two shadows, and it's not droids at all. It's very obviously white lights. It's Now, of course, people may not realize that immediately. So, of course, it's Mark Hamill once again trolling the people. Speaking of episode 8, the shooting over in Dubrovnik, which we've been chronicling here on the podcast with our correspondent. I like to think, Mark, we have an official Dubrovnik correspondent with Brojdar Jukic.
Boston on the scene!
Exactly. StarWarsDubrovnik.com. We've been chronicling it. The shooting has wrapped, and there have been all kinds of crazy behind-the-scenes set pictures. Honestly, Mark, you've probably seen some of them in some of the links we've been sharing around, but they haven't really been making the rounds like the TMZ photos did, if you remember those.
Yeah.
So if you want to hunt them down, like they're on Making Star Wars and some other sites, really nothing too spoilery, just some costumes and like, you know, you can see the design of some speeders and some of the sets dressed up, but nothing really at all revealing. I will give a little 30-second spoiler warning, just skip forward a minute or two in the podcast. Mark, so here's your warning and go. Mark, quickly, I think one of the interesting things is a lot of the extras are in this some sort of exotic sort of formal black wear, and there's some speculation that maybe that's some sort of formal occasion or maybe a funeral for Han. We don't know, but they are kind of interesting. So you can hunt them down. That's kind of interesting on the Dubrovnik photoshoot shooting. So I didn't want to take too long on that. So welcome back to the other people who just skipped on the podcast player. That's the beauty of pre-recorded podcasting. So that's sort of the latest from Star Wars Episode 8. I didn't want to, it's not the only thing. There is one other item for Episode 8, and that's Laura Dern's character. So these again rumors. So I guess possible spoilers. So this is the little episode 8 mini segment. Again, just again, if you would like to skip episode 8, just skip forward a little bit in the podcast. But Latino Review claims to have some specifics about the scenes shot at Pinewood with Laura Dern's character that reveal a little bit about her. Now, Mark, I actually haven't gotten too much in detail.
Oh, dude, I've been checking out on this. I like Laura Dern, and when I caught wind of this one, then. I was hoping she was going to be a character with some authority because...
So
she,
what is
know,
it?
She,
you tell me. What is the all I heard was a rank. So that's all I know. What?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So the website, the Latino Review, has more of the details. Like, okay, they say in one of the scenes shot on this stage, a ragtag group of resistance fighters have seen some battle. Cut and bruise, they and Poe Dameron are on the ship when Laura Dern, playing some sort of captain or officer, she tells the fighters that they are the last of the rebellion / resistance. Now, keep in mind. Okay, if she's telling them that, this also puts into perspective what we hear in the audiobook and in the novelization and Smalley on screen where Leia tells Poe and them to leave. In the audiobook and stuff, she tells them, you guys are it. You're all we have left of the space fleet. You know, the Republic was wiped out. Their fleet was above Hadron Prime when it was blown up. We watched that. So this is, again, that aspect of, you know, is the Rebellion and the First Order, have they been pretty much wiped down to just a small percentage of what they had? Or is it one of those aspects where the New Republic's been wiped out, the First Order lost a big chunk of their military, but Snoke still has quite a bit left, and the Resistance and the New Republic are both down to a ragtag group, and they have to fight what's left of a big First Order, which isn't as big as it once was, but is still pretty big. So these are kind of putting that detail in that. Now, it goes on where she says... let's see. She tells the fighters that they are the last of the rebellion / resistance, and that Princess Leia has been gravely injured and is receiving medical attention. It goes on from there. Oscar Isaac and Laura Dern have an antagonistic exchange of words, and Dern's character is blunt with Poe as if she has some sort of authority over him. Things must be tense between these two characters because there's another scene we've gotten wind of that has Poe leading a group of resistance fighters as they take over what is presumably Dern's ship. Now, that one,
interesting.
That could be, you know, they're saying presumably Dern's ship, but at the same time, you could have a scene like in Race Squadron where, you know, your tag group is out, their ship's crippled, and another ship comes along and they take it over. So, you know, that could be taken out of context. We could find out that they're all on Dern's ship, and Dern's ship, you know, is crippled, and First Order shows up, and that's the ship they're jumping on. Or, like this is suggesting, Dern's character and Dameron's character, they butt heads and Poe mutinies. There's some interesting tidbits here that come up. So that's something that definitely gets me a little hooked. And they also say there's been a leaked synopsis of, well, we already read it actually at this point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is fascinating. Can't we all just get along? You have the First Order, a crazy child who's just going crazy, and you come on, just get along, everybody. You've got a big enemy to fight.
The synopsis on this for Bloodlines that they have, it's new. It's Bloodline. Okay.
Yeah.
Bloodline actually takes place, it's set 6 years before The Force Awakens, and I believe now Bloodline is that's not the Claudia Gray book we were just talking about. That is Chuck Wendig's next book in the series, I believe.
Interesting.
I could be wrong with that, but the entire generation has prospered during the era of peace. Now, this is set 6 years after the Return of the Jedi. The New Republic, governed by the Galactic Senate on Hoshin Prime, has held power for more than 2 decades. Maybe it wasn't 6 years. It was 6 years before The Force Awakens. Sorry.
Yeah,
my bad.
Gotcha.
The war has divided the galaxy. They're fading into legend. Yet the conflict has begun to take shape within the Senate.
They're fading into what?
The wars that divided the galaxy are fading into legend. The conflict that begun to take shape within the Senate. We have two unofficial but powerful factions that have formed. The populace, who believe individual planets should retain almost all authority, and the centralists, who are in favor of a strong galactic government and a more powerful military. As the political gridlock threatens to cripple the fledgling democracy, centralist leaders have called for the election of a first senator in the hopes that their powerful position will bring order to the divided mm-hmm. Senate. The populace like Senator Leia Organa, knowing all too well the price of such an order. Even as the election nears, the division between the worlds and the galaxy are growing wider. So this is obviously Claudia Gray's new book, but this gives us more detail on it, which actually kind of worries me because the first one didn't make it sound as political, and this one sounds a lot more political. But again, she did such a good job with Lost Stars that I'm okay with that.
Well, we'll see. Mark, we'll have you give us the verdict once it actually comes out. It does kind of come full circle. Now, speaking of Star Wars books, Star Wars Catalyst, a Rogue One story, is set to come October 4th. This is an announcement from Del Rey at C2E2 this weekend. No author has been given. However, it's this tie-in novel, which will be a prequel to Star Wars Rogue One, is set to come out, again, October 4th.
I like the idea of a prequel to the movie. You know, I mean, I think that that's something that when it's done right, it works really well. But we've got something unique here because Rogue One is a prequel to Episode 4. So, you know, it's like giving you one more step up into Episode 4.
How about that? Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, man, I wish I could have been at C2E2. C2E2 seems like a really great convention, too. So we can look forward to that coming very soon, and hopefully we'll get an author and maybe a little bit more detail on what it is. There's such a drought of Rogue One information that honestly, it's time, guys. Get the press machine going. Like, I'm at the point soon, if it hits May and we haven't heard anything about a movie coming out in December, you're not doing your job at marketing, and that's the thing. Is Disney is the grand supreme ruler of marketing movies. So I have got to believe that there is some kind of trick up their sleeve, that they have some sort of grand stunt.
It's Marvel. That's the trick. Once the Marvel movies come out, I'm thinking that's when you're going to start seeing your trailers, your teasers. Yeah. We think about it. We've got, is it the Civil War coming?
Yeah,
that's when we're going to get their first. This will be our Thanksgiving teaser for The Force Awakens. That'll come during that, I bet. You know, they're going to go with their big movies, the ones that get them a lot of people. That's going to be when they're going to drop them.
Yeah, I know. I could see that. We'll have to see. And then I actually wanted to bring this. This just dropped yesterday, and it's a Star Wars Rebels. It's the finale to this season, and they released this really cool...
Are you talking that trailer?
This really cool trailer. Yeah, let's take a listen real quick.
I cried, man. I cried. You encountered
on Lothal. Here we go.
You know we encountered an Inquisitor before, but this was nothing like that.
Ahsoka, do you know who or what he is?
I'm Ahsoka. Master Yoda sent me.
You're reckless, little one. You never would have made it as Obi-Wan's Padawan. But you might make it as mine.
Doing what the Jedi Council says, that's one thing. How we go about doing it, that's another.
Man, Matt Lanter sounds different in those early seasons.
Ahsoka, I am so sorry for letting you go. For letting you get taken. It was my fault.
When I was out there, alone, all I had was your training.
So what we're seeing here is just this really cool retrospective going all the way through the Clone Wars, chronicling master and apprentice relationship.
And not only that, I was able to lead others to survive as well. Thank you. Master.
I think that's important, what she says right there.
Indeed. And then we go straight to actual Clone Wars score. This is from the Clone Wars series that you hear right here.
Ahsoka, you are making a mistake.
Maybe. But I have to sort this out on my own. Without the Council. And without you.
I understand. More than you realize, I understand wanting to walk away from the Order.
By the way, one of my favorite pieces of score from the Clone Wars right here.
No.
Ahsoka, do you know who or what he is?
Oh, yeah.
Our long-awaited meeting has come at last.
Mmm. Here, all right, Mark.
Dude.
Hearing,
I teared up, man. I teared up.
I know
few times
it's
that.
I am so shocked on several levels that. But first, it's just that the they're not acknowledging the Clone Wars. They're not borrowing from the Clone Wars. They're not continuing certain elements of the Clone Wars. They are directly pitching the season finale of Star Wars Rebels season 2 as a sequel to the Clone Wars, in a way that brings a level of respect and a level of reverence for material that I honestly thought that they wouldn't, because it's the pre-Disney era, honestly. So, because we all love the Clone Wars, and the Clone Wars is very, I've said this many times, very sporadic in its quality. We had some episodes that were just better than anything that we ever saw in the prequels. We also saw episodes that were just didn't work, that just weren't good. And then a lot in between. But regardless of that, it's something very interesting that they've tied Ahsoka's story so heavily into this season, and it just proves to show that there's the demand there. That's what the fans want to see, and I'll be honest, still, as great as a lot of these Rebels characters are, none of them hold a candle to Ahsoka, if I'm being honest, for me. So to see this pitch where you hear freaking James Earl Jones saying, you know, our meeting. In fact, like, let's just hear that. Let's hear that amazing sauce again, right here. Here it is.
Our long-awaited meeting has come at last.
Like, to hear him say that, the original Darth Vader, in reference to Ahsoka.
Oh crap!
Exactly.
I mean, I was okay. I'm crying when I was watching this with my family. I'm tearing up, and all I'm going is, she's gonna die.
Yeah, she's gonna die.
I just keep thinking she is going to die. The comments she talks about, how when she was lost during Padawan Lost, and how she says it was your training that allowed me to survive. Not only that, but you helped me lead others. That leading others, I go to Kanan and Ezra, and I'm thinking all these three, you know, Jedi slash Force users, I feel like their time in this galaxy is marked. I feel like they are either going to do a Yoda and disappear until they die, or they're going to be slain. And right now, with Vader saying our long-awaited, I'm like, long-awaited, like, as soon as he knew, he's been waiting for that confrontation. And you know, when I watched it, the thing I said was Annie walked away, because his comment to her is like, I know what it means to walk away from the Order. And now she's looking back on it, and he did. He just joined the Sith. He did something she never imagined he would do. So that's her side of the confrontation, asking him why. And that's going to be something that I get back to. One of them is going to die. I cannot see this confrontation with all of them living. And the only two possibilities I see is Kanan dying and Ahsoka filling Kanan's role in Ezra's life. Or I see Ahsoka dying so they can escape and live on, and the rebellion lives on through them.
And the
fight and that whole pinnacle aspect of her being Fulcrum. You know, not just Ahsoka Tano, but she is Fulcrum to the rebellion. And they just lost Fulcrum. And so, there's just so much at play here that I could see it going so many different directions, and no matter which way they go, I'm going to be excited about it, because which way you go, there's so many other possibilities of how this is going to, you know, impact the characters, how they're going to react to these things. I'm just that when you see Vader pushing down her two silver lightsabers and her pushing up, and he's overpowering her, and you think about all the respect that she's been giving to Anakin Skywalker, to Kanan and Ezra, you know, when she talks about him, and when she does it's so sorrowful, because she knows that that person, that individual that she looked up to with so much, is now Darth Vader, who she loathes. Yeah. And that's going to be something to watch, that interaction, you know, and you were saying, you know, that they're paying this back to the fans. And I almost disagree, because Filoni and them, these are their babies, you know, and these babies of theirs are canon. So they are as much integral to the story as Luke and Leia. I mean, at this point in Disney's purchase of Star Wars, they exist that much. They're that weighted. You know, they carry that much resonance with them. And so, I don't know. I mean, I see it going that direction, man. I'm just like, this isn't going to end well. I'm going to be a sobbing mess, and I'm going to have my kids consoling me.
It is not, you know, it is not going to end well at all. And that's, you know, that's I think that's the potential for the greatest story. Honestly, I think it needs to happen. And there has to be a sense of loss for something to actually work. But I'll tell you what, well, we do have one more news story that I want to hit up real quick, and then let me pause my recorder for one moment. There we go. All right, a brief technical thing. But Mark, there's one more story. One more story that that you wanted to bring forward.
Stay on target.
What is this? What is this Star Wars Trials of Tatooine thing?
Dude, this is a crazy little virtual reality type thing that Polygon.com has the article that I caught. It's talking about it's headed to Valve and HTC's Vive virtual reality headset, and it looks like it's coming in the form of an experiment that includes lightsaber blaster deflection. They're calling it the Star Wars Trials on Tatooine. It's LucasArts and Industrial Light and Magic Lab that are working on it. But it's got a little video that had some interesting stuff, and when I was watching, I was like, man, you gotta check this out!
In fact, I'm playing
so if
the
you
video
haven't seen it,
now.
Here, I'm gonna drop the link in the chat for everyone else so you guys can check this video out while we play it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
It looks pretty fun.
ILM and X Lab. Sweet. This, see, I'm very excited now. Star Wars Trials on Tatooine, the debut Star Wars virtual reality game.
I just want to walk around in the Falcon.
Wow. That's amazing. So you really do get this cool first person. That's cool because, like, Star Wars has already dabbled in virtual reality headsets with Google Cardboard. They had the Star Wars Google Cardboard edition that you could use with the Star Wars app, and it's kind of cool. You just place your phone inside this little cardboard mask, for lack of a better term, that fits over your face with a nice little lens that uses the display on the phone to create a virtual reality headset, and you can look as you look around the gyroscope on your phone. Basically can tell which way you're looking, so as you look left in the virtual environment. For people who aren't super into virtual reality, it's really making a big headway in the tech world. Samsung's new phone, the Galaxy S7, they're really trying to push the Samsung's virtual reality headset, the Samsung VR, I guess Gear VR, I think is what they're calling it. But there's that, there's the Oculus Rift, there's all kinds of, and that HTC thing that you mentioned, Mark, there are all kinds of ways to dabble in virtual reality. So I think this is awesome, and Star Wars is the perfect platform to get started with. It's really fun. It's like in the official Star Wars app, it's you could literally like look around on Jakku and see Ray speeder off in the distance, and then look over and see the Millennium Falcon fly overhead and that sort of thing. It's really cool.
They've had all these advancements too in the concept of virtual reality. Like, I've seen these new platforms that they have, and it almost looks like you're standing on one of those small personal trampolines, but it's more of a treadmill that goes 360 degrees. So you could do, you know, any direction, and it'll shift with it. And it's got like a dome going around the top that holds your stomach in place. So while you're running and stuff, you're standing still, but you're actually moving inside the virtual space. And I don't know if they're going to incorporate something like that, because I'm watching another video that's got 15 minutes long. I'm going to put it in our show notes, but it talks about the cinematic storytelling in virtual reality, but it doesn't look like they are using a platform like that with that treadmill kind of thing yet. It actually looks like they've got a room set up, but they're also, you know, this video shows them got, they've got X-Wing, so it looks like you might have some X-Wing games where you're sitting in the cockpit doing that kind of stuff. But I don't know, man. I'm of the opinion, like, I don't think it would be too hard to build some goggles like this that would plug into, like, say, your PlayStation 4 controller and allows you to have
Sony goggles already, as
a headset.
Sony already has, and I think it's on market or coming to market soon, PlayStation VR. They have their own VR headset that they're going to be selling.
Hands-on Sony PlayStation VR hardware and games.
They just debuted
it
recently. Yeah, it's coming soon. In fact, I'm pulling it up on their official website because, of course, we're both PS4 gamers.
Yeah,
Mark.
Yeah.
So if you look, man, it looks great, and it's Can you imagine like that included? So, and in fact, they're going to do a full VR bundle for $4.99,
wow,
which includes the camera and the Move controllers. So of course it combines like the, you know, the virtual.
It may be a fad, but I think it's a fad I'm down with.
I'm telling you, man. Like, can you imagine that it's not Star Wars Battlefront as just the hero? You literally put on the mask and you look around and you're in the environment, and you have the super awesome wands that act as your lightsaber. And nice. As you look around and you see an enemy over to your left, you literally look to your left and raise the PlayStation wand. And boom, there you are, deflecting. Or the camera sees you do a force push motion, and you do actually do a force push. Ah, I'm very excited about
this. See, I just hope that they got it better than the Wii's. Because when I got the Clone Wars lightsaber duels, and I bought the Obi-Wan and Anakin lightsabers, those things made it worse than if I just was using nothing. They, like, block the sensors, our UV light or whatever, I don't even know. Whatever light it used, it didn't work. Because the second I put those on, it was like I would swing and nothing would happen. I'd take it off and then everything was working again. I'm like, oh, come on. You know, at least, like, I hope they really have it plotted out well, because it seems like something that would be super easy to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking at the PlayStation site and I'm really excited about it. Dude, that's going to be awesome. Star Wars virtual reality. It's a thing. It is a thing.
Not just at Disneyland. Exactly. I can't wait for that too.
That'll
be like your tactile version. Like, okay, well, I went virtually and I walked all through the Millennium Falcon. Now I'm going to Star Wars Land and I'm going to see how well they did. And then you're like walking in there, you're like, oh my God, it's exactly the same.
Exactly.
It's worth a lot to me.
It's time for Bubba's Bounty.
As you wish.
Folks, each week we select something that we've either been reading or watching or listening to or doing that's Star Wars related to put a little personal touch on what we're up to in the old fandom of that galaxy far, far away. This week I'll kick us off with my pick, my Bubba's Bounty. I've mentioned them once or twice on the show, but I'd like to make my official pick this week, Mark. Story Wonk's Star Wars podcast, specifically their podcast episode covering Revenge of the Sith. I just finished it today, which means I've gone through all of the podcast releases. I was behind. I listened to all their Force Awakens stuff first and then went back. And I just finished Revenge of the Sith, and he brought something up interesting that I wanted to bring up here in the segment, and that is... He made the case that, and I found myself profoundly agreeing with him, that, and I feel terrible because I don't have the name with me off the top of my head. Oh, well. Again, Story Wonk Star Wars podcast. You'll find it. But he made the case that Revenge of the Sith is by far the best prequel, and I think most people agree, and it still is the best prequel, even though huge chunks of the first and second act of the movie aren't even necessary for the central plot. If you think about it, the crux of Revenge of the Sith in the Star Wars mythology is the story of Anakin Skywalker's fall. It's the story of not someone who just turned evil for evil's sake. It's not just a person who made poor decisions. It's not a matter of someone being sort of hapless in any way, and being forced to do something evil against their will. In fact, sometimes people think that's what Revenge of the Sith is about, but it's not. It's about a young boy who was forced to leave Tatooine and suffered such great loneliness and disconnection and suffering early on in life that he could not let the will of the Force come to fruition. He could not let things go. He had to control his fate. He had to control the life of Padme, and that's the true fall of Anakin Skywalker. Now, if you think about that as the central plot of the story, which it is, the entire Battle of Utapau and the entire Battle of Kashyyyk are very once, twice, or three times removed from that central conflict, and it's very difficult to keep momentum in a story and film when you stray from the central conflict, especially for extended periods of time. And I hadn't even ever thought about that. I thought, you know, yes, like Grievous as a second-tier villain is threatening. Yes, his kidnapping of the Chancellor is thrilling at the beginning of the movie. But the idea of General Grievous kidnapping the Chancellor and Anakin killing Dooku and the entire first battle over Coruscant, you know, all of that's thrilling, but it's not really related to the central, even if it is maybe vaguely, but certainly not centrally related to the Anakin struggle. And despite that, it's still the best by far of all Star Wars film, because that final act of the movie, which I totally agree with, is just a pitching, rolling, infuriating, I mean, not personally, but like for Anakin, just like inevitable hurling towards Anakin's fall as he and Obi-Wan come into conflict on Mustafar and the battles ensue. That it's by far my favorite of the prequels, and in fact it makes it up there with the original trilogy easily for me. But it's something I'd never really thought about, in that it is a little bit disjointed, in that there are huge portions of the movie that aren't related to the central conflict, which is unusual for a Star Wars movie. I mean, Attack of the Clones, as much as people crap on it sometimes, Attack of the Clones stays very, very true to the assassination attempt on Padme and the ensuing relationship between Padme and Anakin, and everything in terms of the conflict and the story revolves around that. Even Obi-Wan's hunt for the assassin is still related to Padme's, you know, situation. So it's interesting that episode 2 almost entirely revolves around, honestly, Padme and her story and the conflict that arises around that, whereas Revenge of the Sith, the conflicts change between characters a whole lot. So your thoughts, sir?
See, I would almost agree that Kashyyyk, especially those scenes, are not needed. But I think the Utapau scenes, they serve, and again, through Kashyyyk as well, they serve to give everyone watching the idea that Sidious, you know, he was right. Palpatine, the galactic public, this gives them the galactic public victory to prove that by plunging the galaxy into the Clone Wars, that was what they needed. You know, mm-hmm. Utapau especially, you know, that's where we see Grievous end. So that gives them their victory. You know, that scene was the end of the Clone Wars, right? So that scene worked. But they give us Kashyyyk to show that, you know, it's happening all over. It's not just contained to one spot right now and one leader. It's the whole galaxy is having all this stuff. And that's how we get a lot of the other scenes. You know, when you see all the Jedi fall with the other planets, that's what that all serves. You know, this big galactic trap that's going on. And that plays the background. That's more Sidious's aspect of the story. That overarching, you know, villain that sees all, knows all, plots all, plans all, traps all. To me, that's always what those served. I think of Utapau, that scene especially, it's like right when a mouse steps on the trap and he hits the trigger. Kenobi, when Kenobi kills Grievous, that's that moment. That's the moment the mouse touches down on that mouse trap and the bar is swinging. After that, the bar comes down. It's Order 66. It wipes out the Jedi Order. That rat is dead. You know, all that's left right now is the twitching tail. But in the end, even the twitching tail, Obi-Wan and Kenobi, or Obi-Wan and Yoda, they too die. You know, so Luke ends up, you know, being the new order that we don't know how his order goes, because we've seen The Force Awakens and we know that bad things happen. But the old order, they're dead, man. They get wiped out by it. Second Obi-Wan steps onto Utapau, you know, that's him getting on the trap. And when he kills Grievous, man, it's done.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true. Well, if you want to hear someone make the case maybe far more eloquently and in a more informed, in terms of like story structure, manner, you can go to storywonk.com and you can search for their Star Wars, or just look for Story and Star Wars in any podcatcher of choice. And it's Alistair Stevens is the guy who does it. I want to make sure that I get the credit in where credit is due. But we've got a little bit of feedback for you guys, well, right after this.
This is Steve Sansweet. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get straight to your emails. We got a great email from Ryan, and I wanted to give it its due. So I put it off to this week. Ryan emailed us a long while ago, linking us to these copies of the extended, for lack of a better term, cue-by-cue soundtracks of the prequels. Basically what we got officially for The Phantom Menace, but never got for Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith. And we talked about it then at the time for a while. And then David Collins was on the program a few weeks ago, and he talked a little bit about it and how, you know, where those came from, that sort of thing. I still didn't really understand why or where it came from or how it was constructed. Like, where these would, like, where would these even come from? Were these like the studio recordings or what? Even though they're not technically official sanctioned releases. And so here's an email from Ryan. He mentioned that he had sent them to auction as well. He said some incredible fans put all these together. Thank goodness. Otherwise, who knows if or when we will ever get an official version. The prequel ones are actually from all the music from games like The Old Republic and The Force Unleashed, where they use a lot of Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith cues cut in with hundreds of different tracks. So, of course, a lot of times on these video games, you can actually, once you install it, go into the sound file specifically and extract the soundtracks. In fact, a lot of popular video games that have great soundtracks but never have an official soundtrack release, that's the way that fans can get to the actual soundtrack and be able to listen to them. So basically, they reconstructed by like going through the movie itself and matching up the cues as best they could, and then, of course, intercutting the official soundtrack release, reconstruct every cue of score in a timeline through both Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. So that kind of tells you that, again, Star Wars fans are just amazing, just absolutely amazing. And we talked a little bit about the Revenge of the Sith score and how they're not perfect, and the way it's edited, you never really know. And in fact, that one great moment that in Revenge of the Sith where Padme lands her craft on Mustafar and Anakin is coming towards the ship, and she takes that brief moment to pause in the midst of all the action, and the love theme from Attack of the Clones comes in. And of course, even in the cue by cue, that hadn't made it in. I can say this, though. Ryan was awesome enough to actually send up an update. Literally, he went back and updated the cues and resent it over. Here it is. I noted on the podcast you mentioned Across the Stars moment that you missed from the soundtrack, so I was able to cobble together a version together with some different elements. It's not perfect, but at least it works. And he went through and he fixed. There are a few other cues as well that he had polished up. And then, of course, we got the moment that I love so much that has Attack of the Clones in it. So I don't have the piece of audio queued with me because, unfortunately, I'm working on a different laptop than I normally am. I was going to be able to play that, but unfortunately, I can't. But suffice to say, you guys know the moment, and it was just, it's just so amazing that Star Wars fans go to these great lengths to reconstruct such a central part of what makes specifically Revenge of the Sith my favorite of the prequels, and a big part of that is the score. And it's just not the same. The soundtrack is just not enough. It is not everything. And I really do hope, because even then it's not perfect, and the, you know, the films go through different stages of editing and the way they cut together these scores, as me and David Collins talked about. But it's so important to me to be able to distill that part of the story that has such a huge influence on what makes the film great. And I'm so glad Ryan emailed us in. Thanks for the email, Ryan. If you want to email us like Ryan, you can do so by emailing us starwarsreport@gmail.com. That's starwarsreport@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/starwarsreport. You can also find us on Twitter. It's @starwarsreport. And Mark, you are at Illogical Rogue 2. That's the number 2. I am personally, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm @TheRileyGuy, R-I-L-E-Y, The Riley Guy. And you can tweet me there and interact with us in between shows. It's always a very good time. This has been the Star Wars Report podcast. It's an hour, ladies and gentlemen, an hour of pure, unadulterated Star Wars awesome sauce. That's right, folks. That's right. Man, what another week, another podcast episode in the can. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure if you want to and you want to join the crowds that are supporting us and making this very program happen each and every week, you can do so at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And you can get things like what we're about to do live here right after recording the show is we're going to actually watch and do a little 22-minute commentary on The Forgotten Droid, the latest Star Wars Rebels episode. And Mark, neither of us have seen it yet, and we're going to do our commentary the first time we watch it. So it's going to be a little bit fun, and we're going to throw that out to the patrons. Exactly.
It happens on first watches a lot.
So that's the kind of thing that you get. Mark crying, exclusive to Patreon. But seriously, everyone who's supporting us, we really do appreciate it. And we just appreciate it. If you're listening to this podcast, you're a part of the Star Wars Report family, and we really do thank you for being a part. And to everyone who joined us live in this kind of weird last-minute time slot, we do appreciate you guys stopping by. It's a good time. Stick around. We're going to be doing the commentary live as well. And then, of course, iTunes. What I want to forget, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, it really helps get the word out about the show. We actually had a new one last week, and that always makes a big difference. Big difference. So if you want to leave us an iTunes review, you can go to starwarsreport.com/iTunes/iTunes. Whew. All right. Man, an absolute jam-packed show. We'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. And as always, you can tune in live, usually a Friday evenings. Friday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Am I forgetting anything, Mark? I think that's it. I think that's a wrap. It's a wrap!
Yeah, it's about right.
I gotta get back to Battlefront, too, but here we're having way too much fun. Star Wars Battlefront. I have a copy of Disney Infinity, literally, that I've had for 4 or 5 weeks just sitting there, and I haven't even opened it because I've been having that much fun with Battlefront. That, too. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. Until next time, may the Force be with you. And many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Died to bring you this podcast.
Woo! All right, let me stop the old recorder.